Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 through chapter 6, verse 10. We are reading through this whole passage as we have been going through our series and what it means to live free. So, Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, you should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This morning, we are considering chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, as we close out our study of what it means to live free in Christ. We'll see next week in chapter 6, verses 11 through 18, that Paul's closing remarks in his letter to the believers in Galatia are a reiteration of his most important point. We are justified. We are made new creations in Christ Jesus by faith, not by keeping the law, not by the acts of the flesh, and not by circumcision. Although these verses in chapter 6, verses 7 through 10 follow Paul's direction to the believers to share all good things with their instructors, and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, I encourage you to read that whole chapter for the full context, but 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 uses the analogy of sowing and reaping to refer to financial giving, these verses are not limited to financial giving or providing material assistance. We looked at that last week. Here at the end of Galatians, Paul is summarizing all his warnings, his corrections, and his instructions that he has presented throughout the letter by reminding us that we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. In Galatians 1, we are warned against false teachers or false prophets, those who claim to declare a message from the Lord. These are false teachers who are presenting a false gospel. Paul was echoing what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20, when he said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly They are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. What's the point of Jesus' warning in the context of reaping and sowing? Well, you can pick grapes only from a grapevine. You can gather figs only from a fig tree. And you can harvest wheat only from a wheat field. Whatever we sow is what we reap, each according to its kind. And this was a principle that the world understood from the very beginning, all the way back in Job chapter 4, verse 8. Job stated, "As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it." They will reap evil and trouble. If we sow to the flesh, that is, if we indulge the passions and desires of the flesh, we will reap destructive consequences in the flesh. Our actions will result in the consequences of what we sowed. Paul tells the Galatians and us that if we sow the seeds of a false gospel, we will not reap the salvation of the Lord, of eternal life. So if we seek to primarily please people, it may be at the cost of not pleasing God. If we do not love the Lord completely, or love ourselves correctly, or love others, love our neighbors compassionately, if we bite and devour one another, if we are proud and boastful, if we neglect to care for one another and do not carry each other's burdens, if we're not just and fair in our interactions with all people, if we abuse the freedom of the Lord as an opportunity for the flesh rather than crucifying the flesh, if we don't live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit, if all these are the seed that we sow, how is it that we expect the harvest of the Lord's grace, kindness, mercy, compassion, blessings, fruit of the Spirit, and righteousness? We can't sow seeds of disobedience that displease the Lord and then expect that He will nevertheless bless or sanction our actions. We reap what we sow. There is no partiality with the Lord. He is consistent with His character and His word. So the second important principle to note is that the harvest depends on the sowing, not the reaping. Even as we note that we reap what we sow, we must also remember that if we sow anything at all, we will reap. As long as that seed has an opportunity to sprout and grow, there will be a yield, a harvest for that sown seed. It may not be a harvest of good fruit, but there will be a harvest. And as Paul points out, we can't deceive ourselves or deceive others or attempt to deceive God, that if no one knows what we have sown, we won't reap the results, that there won't be a consequence. If it's just hidden, if nobody understands or knows that I've done this, then I'll be okay. Well, either in this world or at the judgment, as Numbers 32:23 puts it, our sin will find us out. There is nothing that is going to be hidden, which is why Paul says, don't be deceived. Don't think that you will get away with this. There is a yield, there is a harvest, there is some outcome that's going to happen if you've been sowing a certain type of seed. Now, the quality and the quantity or bounty of the harvest are not dependent on the diligence of the reaper. If the reaper doesn't reap, the harvest is still there. It is based, the quality and the quantity of the harvest is based on the quality and the quantity of the seed that is sown. If the seed is of poor quality, the harvest will be of poor quality. If the seed is good, there will be a good harvest. Which leads us to ask, what is bad seed and what is good seed? What are the ideas, the thoughts, the intents of the heart? What are the words? What are the actions that result in good or bad harvest? Listen to the Lord's rebuke of the children of Israel through the prophet Hosea. This is Hosea chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Israel was a spreading vine. He brought forth fruit for himself. As his fruit increased, he built more altars. As his land prospered, he adorned his sacred stones. Their heart is deceitful, and now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will demolish their altars and destroy their sacred stones. Then they will say, we have no king because we did not revere the Lord. But even if we had a king, what could he do for us? They make many promises, take false oaths, and make agreements. Therefore, lawsuits spring up like poisonous weeds in a plowed field. And then going down to verse 13. But you have planted wickedness. You have reaped evil. You have eaten the fruit of deception. Because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors, the roar of battle will rise against your people so that all your fortresses will be devastated. What is the bad seed? Wickedness, evil, deception, pride, self-reliance, presumption, idolatry, rebellion against God, rejection of the Lord as King and Master, taking false oaths, making ungodly agreements, and the resulting ungodly lawsuits. What is the good seed? Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Right in the middle of that chapter, I purposely skipped over the verse when I was reading from verse 13, but right there in the middle of that chapter, verse 12, God speaks through the prophet to say this, sow righteousness for yourselves and reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. What is the good seed? How can we receive godly ideas, words, and examples? Here's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from our ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is the good seed that is sown in the good soil of your hearts and minds. Now, this passage here encapsulates so much of what we've been talking about through these past few weeks and what it means to come to the Lord. But I trust you're listening to this passage afresh with that perspective of sowing and reaping. It is because the Lord has sown good seed in us that we are able to see the harvest of righteousness. Not our self-righteousness, not the actions or the outcomes of what we think is right in our sight, but the righteousness of the Lord. And that He has done this work in us to have the right results. So we are always focused on saying, Lord God, help me to discern, help me to understand, what is the good seed? What is it that needs to be sown in my life and in the lives of others? And as I understand, as I comprehend that it is the Word of God, the enduring Word of God, the Word of God that stands forever, oh Lord, that is what I seek. That is what I desire. That is what I want to hide in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That I would not walk in the way that the children of Israel did in rebellion and disobedience, but rather that I would receive your word and that it would be transforming me. Now, we understand that the seed of the word of God, which is powerful to accomplish its intended purpose, it accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent, for which it is planted, that seed is good seed. It is of the highest quality. But how does the Lord account for the quantity of the word that is sown? The seed is good, but how does He get all that seed out? Well, the Lord gives us, each of us, the responsibility of sowing that seed of the word of God as often and as widely as we can, going into all those remote places, going into places that nobody else will go to, being bold to speak to somebody in an online group or in, you know, other forums. And we were talking about this even at 9 o'clock this morning, but to be saying, Lord, I will take that step to sow your seed. We are the one who are called to sow the seed that the Lord has already given. He's given us the word. He's given us all that we need for life and godliness. And what we do living free in this life, what we do living according to God's word in this life, the primary part or responsibility in that free living is to sow seed. Now, we don't have to worry when some of the seed falls on the pathway or on rocky ground or amongst thorns or on good soil. Our priority is not, and make sure you understand what I mean when I say this, our priority is not on whether the devil is snatching away the word or whether the devil is keeping people from understanding the word or whether the devil is sowing tares and weeds among the good seed. All these things happened. They were happening even as Jesus was proclaiming that the kingdom of God is here. This was happening. Our responsibility is not to ensure that everyone we know and love stands firm when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word. That's that rocky ground, and the word doesn't have an opportunity to sprout and to grow. We will not be able to control others. We will not be able to control their choices, their circumstances. And we will not be able to keep the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things from entering in and choking the word that is in them. We will not be able to and should not attempt to take the place of the Holy Spirit in the lives of others, including those we know and love. Our tendency is to say, oh, I got to do this. I got to not just give them the seed or sow the seed, but I got to make sure that it's going to be sprouting right. And I've got to make sure that, you know, it's going to bear the harvest. And we intervene. All we are called to do is to bear the seed of the Word of God in our lives and to then sow the seed of the word of God in others. That's it. And the one who causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, the one who causes the rain to fall on all, the one who causes spiritual eyes to be opened and spiritual ears to be opened with understanding, the one who gives the increase so that the good seed sown on good soil will bear fruit, he's the one. The Lord is the one who ensures the 30-fold, the 60-fold, the 100-fold harvest. As Galatians chapter 6 verse 8 makes clear, we must respond and apply the word of God that we have heard by continuing to sow good seed in our lives and in others' lives to please the Spirit. We sow to please the Spirit by walking in the way of the Lord by faith, by joyfully obeying the Lord, and as verse 10 says, not becoming weary in doing good. Why is that the necessary encouragement? Why did God decide that the necessary encouragement for us when we are about sowing seed is to say to us, don't grow weary of doing good? Because the Lord knows that left to ourselves, we can become discouraged. We can become depleted when there is seemingly no benefit, no good result, no noticeable transformation, no appreciation or even acknowledgement that you've done something good. And you can get tired. You can get awfully discouraged. The Lord knows that we need the infilling and the constant strengthening of the Spirit to continue to do good without growing weary. So here's what the Word of God instructs us to do when doing good. Do good to all without expecting anything in return. Do good to all without counting how they will reciprocate, how they will respond, what they will do, what report you'll be able to give. Just do good to all as the Lord leads. Do good to all as unto the Lord, not even for them. You're going to benefit them. You're going to do it for their sakes. You're going to be led of the Lord to do something tangible. You're going to affect their eternity. But do it as unto the Lord. Do it because you are pleasing the Spirit, not because of you want the applause of men. Do good to all as we have opportunity, being practical, being led of the Spirit, as we have opportunity, giving them what is best for them, not giving them what we think they should have, giving them what is best for them according to their needs, according to what the Lord is doing in their context, so that we don't come in and impose. We say, how can I come alongside what the Lord is at work at in their life already and then be ministering to those needs? And then do good to all, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Do good to those that are in the body of Christ. Prioritize the local church. As Todd Wilson states in his commentary on Galatians chapter 6 verse 10, the local church is where we find identity and security, receive nurture and nourishment, get encouragement and support, benefit from teaching and training, modeling and mentoring, discipline and discipleship. The local church is our spiritual home, and those who gather week by week are, biblically speaking, our true brothers and sisters. Jesus is the head of no other institution and claims no other institution as his body. That's in Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. No other institution serves as the dwelling place for God or the residence of the Holy Spirit. That's in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 21 and 22. There is no other institution that has so remarkable or far-reaching a history tracing its roots back to before the foundations of the world. That's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Nor is there any other institution with the church's future extending as it does into eternity. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Nor is there any other institution as global in scope or diverse in membership. That's from Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. We won't find any other institution that's easier to enter, yet so impossible to forsake once we are truly joined. And that's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And let's not forget the spiritual benefits of belonging to this unique institution. When we are in the local church, we experience the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's from 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. So finally, in doing good that is not wearing us out, not burning us out, do good to all and leave the results, the increase for the harvest, to God and God alone. The harvest that we talk about here, or when we say salvation, it's twofold. One, it's the coming to the Lord initially to begin a life of discipleship, to begin following Jesus. And we say, oh, look at this harvest that has taken place. People have come to know of the saving knowledge of Jesus. They've come into the kingdom of God. They've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we rejoice in what the Lord is doing. Maybe by the ones and the twos, maybe by the hundreds, maybe by the thousands, as they would come to know Lord in the Lord in that way. But the second aspect of this harvest is being joined to the Lord for eternity at the end of our lives, or when He returns. So it's both justification along with that sanctification and glorification. The harvest is twofold in that regard. As Martin Lloyd-Jones described it, the Christian life is a tasting of the first fruits of that great harvest which is to come. So that is what we have in mind when we say the harvest belongs to the Lord. He asks us to go into the harvest field and to labor, to co-labor, and with the other brothers and sisters and with what He Himself is doing. But the harvest, it belongs to the Lord. It's worth giving our lives to what the Lord calls us to. The value of the harvest is greater than the cost of sowing the seed. When we sow good seed, we will be changed. When we sow good seed, others will be changed. When we sow good seed, society will be changed. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have called us to live free in the freedom that Christ has wrought for us. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that as we live free in that way, Lord, it is not to do whatever we may please. That would be an abuse of Your grace and Your freedom. It is not to indulge the flesh to pursue our passions and desires. That would be exactly contrary to what Your Spirit wills. But Lord, it is for us, because we are free, to then freely, willingly offer ourselves to You as Your servants. Offer ourselves to You and yield to You as with You as our Lord and our Master, our King. Oh Lord God, we thank You that living free is so wonderful, that Lord, it is truly liberating, that Lord, there is no freedom that the world can give us that compares. And Lord, we thank You that as we live free in these ways, as we bear the fruit of the Spirit, as we follow hard after You, as we take to heart Your command, Your directive to sow good seed, I thank You, Lord, that Lord, You will cause that seed to grow. You will cause, Lord, the harvest to take place. And so we are excited. We are thrilled. We are, Lord, just rejoicing that we get a chance, that we have this opportunity, Lord, as brothers and sisters, to come together, Lord, regularly to encourage one another to keep doing good and not to grow weary. Help us to stand with each other, to pray for one another, to contribute in material and other ways. Lord, to do what is necessary for the body of Christ to be built up. Lord, to be good, to do good to those that are in the fellowship of faith. Thank you, Lord, that as we do that, oh, Father God, we are so glad to know that the body of Christ is, Lord, built up in these days to be prepared, oh, for that ultimate harvest, for that ultimate gathering together with you for all eternity. This morning, Lord, speak to us, to each one of us, in the ways in which we have been resisting the Holy Spirit, in the ways in which we have been sowing our own seed and trying to reap our own benefits and results. Lord, break all that out of us. Remove all those sinful, selfish, rebellious ways. Let us crucify the flesh. And Lord, help us instead to be raised up to new life in you. Let us, Lord, experience this freedom in you. Let every day be so full of joy, the joy of the Lord as our strength, that we will want to go into the world and engage with people and share with them of the good news of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, we will be eager to go in to the world and sow good seed. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to do that, Lord. Let that be our motivation. Let that be our desire. Let that burn within us, Lord. Hallelujah, that we may see many come to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, your grace, your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.